of Scripture that's very familiar, should be very familiar to Christians, and often referred to when times of trials or tribulations come to the church or to the nation or whatever. We always want to recite these verses of Scripture. But this morning, what I want to do is I want to take you from the very first verse of that chapter of chapter 7. And walk our way up to those verses so that we understand why those verses were spoken and for what reason God called us to respond to Him in this way. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, and we're going to be again reading in verse 1. It says, "Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house." Let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, this morning we're thankful for each one that's here this morning. We thank you, Father, that they've come this morning without a doubt, Father, for to be an encouragement to one another, to fellowship with one another, and Father, to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ and to pay homage and honor to your name. Father, we thank you this morning for the very presence of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray that as we share from your word, the Holy Spirit will minister to our hearts and that our hearts, whatever burden might be upon our heart, Father, this morning, it can be lifted knowing that we can take all of our cares and all of our problems to you, Lord, and your ears are always open. Your eyes are always upon the righteous, Father. And so, Lord, as we bring our burdens to you, that you'll hear those burdens and you'll respond to us and lift that burden from our heart. Father, this morning we just ask you to bless. We pray that you get praise, honor, and glory as we share this morning in your word. And we ask these things in Christ's name and for his sake. And all God's people said, amen. As we come to the 2 Chronicles chapter 7, the massive temple of God has been completed. It was 7 years in the making under the leadership of King Solomon. And now every stone, every piece of furniture, every golden vessel is in its proper place. And just listen to this just for a second. It says the floors and the walls were made of stone covered with cedar wood and overlaid with gold. Just think about that. Just think about that. The floors and the walls were made of stone covered with cedar wood and overlaid with gold. What a marvelous building. What a marvelous piece of construction this was. Can you imagine the beauty and the strength of this temple? The blueprints for the construction of the temple were God's blueprints given to King David, who in turn gave them to his son Solomon. And now the very first sacrifice is laid upon the altar. And the scripture records in verse 1, "Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house." I want you to notice two things here. First of all, I want you to note when the fire came down. It didn't come down when Solomon put the sacrifice on the altar. It didn't come down when the Levites and the priests gathered around and prepared themselves for the Lord's consuming of the sacrifice. The fire came down when Solomon finished his prayer. My friends, I'm going to tell you something. This morning, you can bring sacrifices to God all day long, but if your heart is not right with the Lord Jesus, if you haven't gone to the Lord in prayer and lifted up your burdens to Him and spoke to Him and communicated with Him one-on-one, your sacrifices mean precious little to the Lord. He wants your heart. And Solomon prayed. Solomon had poured his, you can read it in chapter 6. Solomon poured his heart out to God. We ought to be pouring our heart out to God, not just today, not just because the election's coming up, and so many Christians are talking about, you need to be praying about the election, you need to be praying about the election. Let me tell you, the election's not the most important thing we need to be praying about. We need to be praying about our neighbors coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ and our family members coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ before the rapture of the church takes place. That's the most important thing we need to be praying about. And in order to get our prayers answered, we need to have our hearts right with the Lord Jesus ourselves. We need to be walking in a way that brings honor and glory to the Lord Jesus. Here, the fire didn't come down until Solomon was finished with his prayer, when Solomon had poured his heart out to God. Note when the sacrifice was laid upon the altar. Not when the sacrifice was laid upon the altar, but at the conclusion of Solomon's prayer. Solomon opened his heart to the Lord, and the Lord responded. The application of God's moving power in our lives comes not because we bring tithes and offerings or service to Him, but when our hearts are turned to Him in prayer, when we reach out to Him with an open heart and we seek His perfect will for our lives. God moved when Solomon's prayer was ended. That's the first note. The second note, where did the fire come from? The Bible says it came down from heaven. The fire came down from heaven. The very first sacrifice laid upon the altar of the temple. The fire came down from heaven. God consumed the very first sacrifice that was laid upon the altar. The Matthew Henry makes 2 points about the awesome display of God's power here. He says, he writes that the first is that God is a consuming fire, which speaks to his righteous judgment of sin. The fire came down and consumed the sin offering. This offering is a foreshadow of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches us that upon the body of the Son of God were laid all the sins of the world. And God the Father himself sent forth his own Son to bear these burdens for our sake, which brings us to that second point, which is the awesome display of God's power, demonstrates the wonderful grace of God. When God's fire came down and consumed the sacrifice was a sin sacrifice. It was a shadow of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where should that fire have properly landed? Where should that fire properly properly landed if God was going to seek out and do away with sin? It had been everybody gathered around. It had been the priests, the Levites, and all the people. The people should have been the ones to be consumed in that fire, but God chose in his grace to strike the sacrifice. God, and that sacrifice is none other than his own Son. God was willing to send forth his own Son into this world to bear the burden of the sins of each and every one of us. He placed all of our sins upon the body of his own Son. The Bible says it pleased the Lord to bruise him. That is his own Son. He has put him to grief. That's what the Bible says. This means that God the Father was perfectly satisfied with the perfect sacrifice of his Son. And by the way, that's the only sacrifice that God would have ever recognized. That's the only sacrifice God ever recognizes. His own Son. His death was our life, and he was made sin and a curse that we might inherit his righteousness and his blessings. In John 3:16, God makes it very clear, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Everlasting life. God gave his only begotten Son. And I'm thankful for that. In John chapter 10, verses 14 or 17 and 18, Jesus Christ said this. He said, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. My Father sent me to do a work, and I'm here, and my mind and my heart is set upon accomplishing the work of the Father. And you know, that brings us to our personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ today. What work has God called us to do that we fail to do? What little burden has God laid upon our heart for somebody else that we fail to do? Like the Lord Jesus Christ, we ought to be willing to do and to press on. The Holy Spirit convicts our hearts wonderfully. And I say it's wonderfully. The Holy Spirit convicts our hearts wonderfully when he has something that he wants us to do, and also convicts our heart wonderfully when we fail to do it. But here, the Lord Jesus Christ, in other words, the Lord is saying, the Father told the Son, go bring your sheep home. And there was only one way that could be accomplished, through the Son's death, burial, and his resurrection. It was the Father and the Son working together to bring about the homecoming of his children. The Bible says that fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering, and now God has moved into the temple. The temple's right. The temple's perfect. You know, when God moves into our hearts, when does God move into your heart and into a lost person's heart? When would God move into a lost person's heart? Never. Never until, of course, they recognize the sacrifice of the Lord's Son, the Father's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. When we receive Christ as our Lord and Savior, when we say, Lord, forgive me of my sins and come into my life, at that moment and that time, the Holy Spirit comes and takes up abode in our hearts, because we have become perfect in the eyes of the Father, because we have recognized his Son as paying the sin debt for our lives. And so our bodies become perfect. We're not perfect. We have many, many shortcomings, but God sees us perfect when we receive his Son as our Lord and Savior. And the temple has become God's dwelling place now. God has come down. The Bible says in verse 2, it says, and the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. Wouldn't that be marvelous today to see that? I mean, the Lord's power and his glory was all over that temple. Listen, when we receive the Lord Jesus as our personal Savior, the Holy Spirit of God comes to take up abode in our hearts. And we need to walk, and our bodies become the very temple, the very dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. And God is pleased to fill our hearts with His Spirit because we have received His Son as Lord and Savior of our lives. We, like the publican, standing afar off from the temple, have at one time lifted up our hearts and not our heads and pleaded, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And God comes down and takes up residence in our hearts. And here in verse 3 it says, and when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. I think they perfectly recognized the fact that that power and that awesome showing of display of God's of fire, that could have well landed upon them as opposed to on the altar. God's judgment could well have landed upon us instead of upon His Son. God's goodness, His mercy, His kindness, His love are not just for a day or a week or a year, but for all eternity. God is good to us today. His kindness is extended to you and to me today. And His love for you, and even though you may turn away from Him, He never turns away from you. That's the truth. That is the fact of the Bible. You may turn away from the Lord Jesus Christ, but He never turns away from you. His arms are always open, ready to receive you back home. If you're walking down a path that's a path of wicked and sin, and you're off that path that God has originally called you to, you can any moment of time, you can turn around and come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and He'll forgive you. He'll do that. He'll brush you off, and He'll put you right back on the path to eternal life. And a relationship with Him. You know, that's what you suffer. When you turn around and you walk away from the Lord Jesus, you separate that fellowship with the Holy Spirit that really is something that we absolutely need in this day and in this hour. Any portion of God's creation that ends up in hell will not end up there because of God's turning away, but because of man's own rebellion and man's own rejection of the Son, whom God the Father sent freely into this world to die for all. And so God, rightfully so, God is good, and His mercy endures forever. And then in verse 4 it says, then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord. And King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the people dedicated the house of God, and the priests waited on their offices, the Levites also with the instruments of music of the Lord, which David the king had made to praise the Lord, because His mercy endures forever, when David praised by their ministry. And the priests sounded trumpets before them, and all Israel stood. Can you imagine all the folks coming and bringing their sacrifices? I mean, there were so many people coming that we're going to see that Solomon has got to, the altar is just overflowing. And Solomon has got to hallowed out even around the concrete floor, around the middle of the outer court, so that he can continue the sacrificing of these offerings that are brought. People just pouring out their hearts to the Lord and their gifts. There was such a pouring out of the people bringing their sacrifices. Let me back up. Here we see that everyone is participating in some wonderful way in the service to the Lord. The priests are busied with the sacrifices. The Levites are ministering in music, the very music that David had prepared before the praise of the Lord. And the people are bringing their sacrifices. And the question is, how busy are we today in service to the Lord? What sacrifices have we made this week for the good and the gracious cause of the Lord Jesus Christ? What have we done at all just this week in service to the Lord and in service to others? We can never outgive the Lord. The Bible teaches us that very. The more we hold back from God, well, we're just cutting off our own blessings. The more we hold back from God, we're just cutting off God's opportunity to bless us in a wonderful way. Pressed down, shaken together. God wants to pour out His gifts to you, but you've got to be willing to open your heart and to be obedient to the moving of the Spirit, and to be willing to give too. And so these people are serving. Verse 7 says, moreover, Solomon hallowed the middle of the court that was before the house of the Lord, for there he offered burnt offerings and the fat of the peace offerings, because the brazen altar which Solomon had made was not able to receive the burnt offerings and the meat offerings and the fat. Also at the same time, Solomon kept the feast 7 days, and Israel with him, a very great congregation from the entering in of Hamath unto the river of Egypt. So people were coming from north and south all over the land. There was such a pouring out of the people bringing their sacrifices that Solomon had to hallow the additional altars in the very middle of the court to process all of the sacrifices. People were coming from all over the land, from as far north as Hamath to as far south as the Shihor River that separates Egypt from the land of Judea. My goodness, you could see these people coming. And then verse 9 says, and in the eighth day, and here's a beautiful picture, and in the eighth day, they made a solemn assembly. 7 days they've been worshiping, 7 days they've been praising, 7 days they've been bringing their sacrifices, and now together, their sacrifices have been offered, and now on the eighth day, they have a solemn assembly. They come together to praise the Lord and to thank Him. It says, and in the eighth day they made a solemn assembly, for they kept the dedication of the altar 7 days and the feast 7 days. And on the 23rd day of the 7th month, he sent the people away into their tents and glad and merry in heart for the goodness that the Lord had showed unto David and to Solomon and to Israel, his people. God came down to visit his people, to sanctify his temple, and to make his presence known. These people were not filled with the Holy Ghost when they went away happy, excited, and glad. They weren't filled with the Holy Ghost. You are. You are. You and I have that very wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost residing in us. These people didn't have that. And yet still, the marvelous excitement of the worship of the Lord was so wonderful that they went away with joyful hearts. And so God came down to visit his people, to sanctify his temple, and to make his presence known. And these people, though not filled with the Holy Ghost, their hearts and souls were so moved by what God had done, first for David, and then for Solomon, and now for his own people, that their joy could not be contained. On the eighth day, after the conclusion of the 7-day celebration feast, the people in one accord lifted up their hearts to God in a solemn assembly. It is as though that the Lord, the voice of God, has said, "Now be still and know that I am God." Isn't that something that you and I need to do at least once a week? At least, I mean, you could take it once a day. Just stop and be still and know that God exists. Know that God is present with you. I mean, there's so much busyness going on around every one of our lives that we need to stop sometime and just be still and know that God is. It brings a tremendous peace to the heart. I mean, whatever burden you're facing, whatever burden you're carrying, whatever wall you think you're facing, when you stop and think that God is always present with you and God's watching over you and God's not going to let you fall, that's wonderful to know. That's quite an encouragement. And it gives you strength to face whatever comes day by day. Verse 11 says, "Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord. And in his own house he prosperously effected." And listen to this. Now look at this. All the excitement's over. All the formal presentation, all the formal activities are done. And Solomon has just gone home to his house, to his home. And verse 12 says, "And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice." In the peaceful quiet of the evening, God comes to Solomon and confirms that he has heard every detail of Solomon's prayer and has chosen to dwell among his people in the temple that was dedicated that day. When we ask God to forgive us of our sins and we receive Christ as our Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes down and rests within our hearts, and Christ himself also promises to abide within. Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock," the Lord Jesus says. "If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." God continued to share some very important information with Solomon. Here is a wonderful thing. Solomon has led his people to worship the Lord. Solomon has led his people in prayer. Solomon has led his people in the worship activities of the Lord. And God has visited him privately, personally, and shared with him how he had received and acknowledged his prayer, and that he would be coming and he would be staying and he would be living among them. In verse 13 it says, God says this. God continued to share some very this important information with Solomon. It says in verse 13, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, isn't it something people say, why would a loving God do such things? Well, I'm thankful that because he loves us. Because he loves us. That's why he does such things. Because we get off track and we get following some silly something out here in the world, and God gets our attention. And he'll get our attention. He can either speak to us in the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, or he can show us in a real practical way. So verse 13 again says, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I can command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. Listen, God chastens those he loves. God is not talking about shutting up the heavens over the pagans, or sending the locusts to devour the unbelievers' land, or even allowing sickness to come upon the wicked of the world. He's talking about those who are in a covenant relationship with him. He's talking about those who are called by his name. We are walking in when we're walking in willful sin and in rebellion against the moving of the Holy Spirit within our lives, God will call, God will move, and God will bring us under his chastening hand if we will not respond and turn from our wicked way. God's going to get our attention one way or the other. Not because he hates us, but because he loves us. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, John says, speaks a beautiful verse. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, what do we need to be praying about today? What do we need to be praying about today? Well, whatever it is, our hearts need to be right with the Lord Jesus before we go petitioning him for anything. You know, the outcome of this election may very well be because the church's ears and the church's heart's been cut off from reaching out to the Lord. God says, if my people, which are called by my name, verse 14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. Humble. Humble. Humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. God is talking to you and me, not talking to the world. He's talking to you and me. And look at verse 15, and I'll close with verse 15. God says, now mine eyes shall be open, and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. Well, the temple is right here today. The temple is right there in your heart. And God says, when you petition me from the temple, from that place, I'll hear. This morning, as God's people, called by his name, have many important things to seek God's face about, there's a most important thing. Before God is going to hear our prayer, we must humble ourselves, ask forgiveness for our sins, and rededicate our lives in service to him. Solomon sought God's face in prayer, and he witnessed the power of God moving in his life. And God says to us this morning, now mine eyes shall be opened, and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. What is the burden on your heart this morning? Let me share with you this. What we need to do is we need to take a moment or two in silent prayer, just our own hearts open to the Lord and let him speak to our heart. This morning, before I even close in prayer, I'm going to give us an opportunity just to bow our heads and to think about what it is in our life that somehow is more important than our relationship with God today. Because listen, there are some things in Christians' lives that become priority one instead of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this morning, just for a moment or two, we have this election coming up, but the election, that God's going to have his way in the election, and that ought to be our prayer. God, you have your way in the election. You know, it may just be that God puts on, it doesn't make any difference. I was talking with some of the deacons, and we came to a wonderful conclusion. It doesn't make any difference who's sitting up on Capitol Hill. What makes a difference is who's sitting on the Capitol of your heart. That's the difference. And the most important thing for us today is not to worry about that, but to get on with sharing our love for the Lord Jesus Christ and walking in a way that brings others to a saving grace and knowledge of Him. That's the important thing today. Before we close in prayer, the altar is going to be open. In fact, as I'll ask Barbara if she'll come on now, and we'll have the invitation. And I would invite you to, if you're unable to come to this altar this morning, then find right where you sit. Take a moment of just silent prayer, just time to open your heart and listen, and just listen to the voice of God. And then if there is a burden, if the election's a burden on your heart, this altar's open. Right now is a time we can come and we can gather together and we can lift up our burdens and our petitions to God. He says his eyes are open, his ears are open to this place right here. So this morning, if you have a burden on your heart, take it to the Lord in silent prayer. Then also, you can bring it to this altar as well. Let's stand and sing. The invitation hymn's 380.